Okay, now we have defined up to now the algorithm. So we have defined the Monte Carlo methods that can be used to generate numbers, configurations according to a given probability distribution. Then we should do the same discussion that we did for uncorrelated data. So we should discuss the bias and the error. Today we will discuss the bias. In the next lecture, we will discuss how to compute errors obtained in Monte Carlo simulations that are based on Markov chains. So let's remember the basic theorem, which is the reason why we use Markov chains in simulations. And the basic result is the ergodic theorem, which tells us that time averages are equivalent in the number when the number of iterations goes to infinity to sample averages. So if we take the sample mean of a given quantity f, then when the number of iterations goes to infinity, the sample mean converges, again in probability, to the sample average, so that we reconstruct in this way the sample average. This is the way in which we compute sample averages. But then we should be careful about two things. First, the bias. So the idea is, if we take a finite n simulation, or a simulation of finite length, as we usually do, what is the difference on average on the Monte Carlo repetitions between the result that we get and the sample average? And the second, we want to investigate the fluctuations, which means we want to compute the error. So for dynamic Monte Carlo simulations based on Markov chains, what we know, there is a general theorem that the sample mean is a bias estimator. This is not true for uncorrelated data. For uncorrelated data, the sample mean is an unbiased. There is no bias for uncorrelated data. Instead, for dynamic Monte Carlo methods based on Markov chains, the sample mean is a biased estimate of the sample average. We will not prove that, but I've added a supplementary material for that, a short proof which is valid for discrete systems and with some caveat. Well, it's rigorous for finite state spaces, and with some caveat can be also applied to infinite state spaces. So you have the proof in the supplementary material. I won't make comments on the proof, and it's something that I've added for those who are more mathematically oriented. The proof is not difficult, but of course you have to work out a little bit with the details. So the first basic result that we do not prove is that the sample mean now is a biased estimator. So there is a bias which is of order 1 over n. There is a second important observation, and is that the bias disappears when you start in equilibrium. Start in equilibrium is a word that we will often use. Technically means the following. Imagine that we repeat the simulation several times and we consider as a starting point a configuration which is obtained from the state space using the probability distribution pi. If we average then over the starting points, which are extracted with the given probability pi, then we say that we are computing our average in equilibrium. So equilibrium means averaging over the initial conditions. Initial conditions are extracted with the probability pi. Of course, we cannot extract a configuration with the probability pi. If we were able to do that, there would be no reason to use the dynamic Monte Carlo method. In practice, these results, which refer to Markov chain that start in equilibrium, refer to simulations in which we start from a typical configuration. So if you start from a typical configuration, the bias vanishes. So the sample mean is an unbiased estimator if we start from a typical configuration. So you should remember this term that we will also use when we discuss errors, starting in equilibrium. In practical terms, starting in equilibrium means that we start from a typical configuration. This is the main meaning. Mathematically, it means that we average over the initial conditions with the probability distribution pi, the equilibrium probability distribution pi. Okay, so this is the basic terminology that we will use in these next two lectures. So now let's go to the practical considerations. The initial conditions give rise to the bias, and of course their influence decreases as 1 over n, because the bias is of order 1 over n. We will discuss in the next lecture, but we know that statistical fluctuations, the error, decrease as 1 over square root of n. So when the run length is large, when the number of iterations is very large, of course the errors dominate and the bias becomes irrelevant. So the initialization bias is crucial whenever the length of your Monte Carlo simulation is small. For short simulation in which errors are large, the bias may be relevant. On the other hand, for high precision simulation in which the length of the run is very large, then the bias is not so relevant. You do not have to be very careful about the bias. Now let's understand how the bias influences our results. So here there is a picture. Imagine we start a simulation, and this is the value of f at each iteration. So in the picture, let's consider the red curve. There is the value of f of x at each iteration. At time equals 0, f of x is a number close to 2. We are following the red line, and then it decreases, and then you see that after a while it stabilizes, and the number is more or less constant, very close to 0. So what is the meaning of that? Is that the system feels the initial conditions and reaches, as we say, equilibrium only after 2000 iterations. So the bias is due to this initial transient, to this initial 2000 iterations in which the system is very far from the equilibrium condition, which means that the probability distributions of the configurations for this value of t, of the Monte Carlo time, is very different from the asymptotic equilibrium distribution pi. So the bias that we have in the sample mean is due to this initial transient, to the fact that for a certain number of iterations, the system has a distribution, the configurations of the system have a probability distribution that is very different from the probability distribution that characterizes the system for large time, the equilibrium probability distribution. So one of the things that you should do when you do simulations is always to understand what is the initial transient and when the system reaches equilibrium. So there are also methods that ensure that you really reached equilibrium. So one simple method is just you look at the data. When the data stabilize, then you know that you have reached equilibrium. But you may have doubts, and so there is a method which is often used, which is the method of two different starting configurations. So you use two different starting configurations, very different one from the other, and you look at the behavior of the system under the two runs. For instance, in this case, there are two different runs. One is red and one is blue. Equilibrium is reached when the two simulations more or less fluctuate around the same value. And again, you see that the red curve goes down, the blue curve
goes up, and more or less, when the number of iterations is around 2000, the two curves just are one on top of the other, meaning that you have really reached equilibrium. Of course, it's important that you choose two different configurations that are physically different. For instance, in spin systems, like in the ISIM model, you can start from a completely random configuration. Random configuration means that at time t equals zero, you put spins randomly on your lattice. So with probability 1/2, the spin is pointing up, and with probability 1/2, the spin is pointing down. While this may be, for instance, the red curve, while the blue curve may be obtained by using an order configuration. For instance, all spins are pointing up, so it's completely magnetized configuration. So you choose two physically different. One is completely disordered, unmagnetized configuration. A completely magnetized configuration perform two runs. When the two runs give results that are more or less in agreement, then you know that at that point the system is in equilibrium. For a fluid system, for instance, for a gas, you can start from a configuration in which particles are randomly set in the box, so their position is randomly chosen in the box, or, for instance, you put the particles on a regular lattice, so you start from what is called a solid configuration. The particles are on a cubic lattice, for instance, and then you let the system evolve, and then you look at the interactions, and when, for instance, the energy or the virial pressure coincide, more or less, they fluctuate around the same value, at that point you know that the system has reached equilibrium. Well, the important observation is that the bias is due to the initialization, to this iterations in which the system is outside equilibrium. So in the picture, the bias is due to the first 2000 iterations. If you discard these 2000 iterations, then you are considering the system in equilibrium, and in this case the bias is zero. So the first thing that you should do whenever you do a simulation is look at the system, identify the region in which the system is in equilibrium, discard all iterations which are not in equilibrium, which belong to initial transient, and then start computing the averages from the point where the system is already equilibrated. So let's do an example. We consider the Metropolis algorithm for the Gaussian probability on the real line. This is the algorithm that we discussed as the first example of Metropolis. And then let's look at the results. So here is the result for the average value of x squared, so the square of the value. And it's easy to compute its average value with respect to probability pi is 1/2. So this is, here for the purpose of this discussion, I use the algorithm with p equal 0.2, so the system is moving very slowly. And we are starting very far from equilibrium, so we start from x equal 10, so very far from the typical value. Of course, x on average will be 0 with fluctuations of order 1 over square root of 2. So x equal 10 is very far from equilibrium. And you see that you are very far from equilibrium from the behavior of x squared as a function of the number n of iterations. N is the Monte Carlo time. And you see x squared starts from 100, then it decreases, it fluctuates, but it decreases. And more or less when n is of order 1000, you are essentially in equilibrium. So in order to avoid the problem of the bias, you should discard the first 1000 iterations. And so for this reason, now we want to show the bias, so we compute the sample mean, which is called here x squared ave, ave for average, as a function of n. So we are just computing the average, the sample mean for the first n iterations. We know that this is a biased estimator, so it should converge to 1/2 with corrections of order 1 over n. And here you see what is happening. The sample mean, of course, decreases for n going to infinity. It should converge to 1/2, but as you can see, convergence is very slow. So for instance, when n is of order 2000, the sample mean is still of order, is larger than 10, is included between 10 and 20, which is very far from the correct value 1/2. So here you understand that if you just do 2000 iterations, you would get an estimate which is completely wrong. You would get something like 15, which has nothing to do with the asymptotic result 1/2. The bias is extremely large, and in the picture on the right, we verify that the bias decreases 1 over n because we plot the sample mean as a function of 1 over n, and as you see, when n goes to infinity, which means 1 over n goes to 0, asymptotically the data follow a straight line. So you see, you get a straight line which shows you that the approach of the sample mean to the asymptotic value follows a 1 over n law. But this bias here is enormous. It's not like in the case we're discussing for uncorrelated data, where even for very small number of iterations, the bias was usually small. Here the bias is huge, really large. And below there is another example, just to understand the role of the bias. Imagine that we average over 10,000 iterations. Now 10,000 iterations is a big number. So the first number on the left is the sample mean in which we have not discarded anything for a specific run. I've done a run. I take the sample mean over the whole set of data. I don't discard anything. And as you can see, I get a number which is 2.7, very large compared to the asymptotic result. While on the right, I take an estimate only over 9,000 iterations. I've discarded the first 1,000. So I start from iteration 1001 and I get 0.33, which is instead close to the correct result. And as we shall discuss in the next lecture, there is of course a difference, but the difference is of the order of the statistical error. The statistical error here with this number of iterations for this algorithm is more or less of the order of point something, 0.1, 0.2, and is explained the difference that we get. While in the other case, it's not a question of statistical error bars. The difference between 2.7 and 0.5 is really a difference due to the bias in this system. So the first thing that we learn from this discussion is that we must be very careful about initialization. Whenever we do a Monte Carlo simulation, we should check that the data are in equilibrium. So we look how the data change as the Monte Carlo time increases as a function of the Monte Carlo time, and discard all the data which are not in equilibrium. Once we have discarded this data, we start measuring, this is the technical term, we start to compute averages from that point onward in time. In this way, we are sure that the bias due to the initialization essentially vanishes. There is no bias due to the initialization if we start in equilibrium.